is, do you know, in every adversity is the seed of greater opportunity, and is that with all that's going on around us, the darkness gets darker, but the light gets brighter. And I've moved up here onto top today just so that I can shout out a little bit, make a bit of noise, don't have to worry about spitting on everyone, as because I like being down there. I like being on the same level as everyone else, because that's, you know, that's where we're called to be, on the same level as each other. And I love it and delight in it. But today is a special day. I don't know about you, but every Sunday morning for me, it's just to gather together. Joel came in, he's just flat out excited. He just can't find enough ways to express the joy that what the Holy Spirit's doing in him. I'm a bit the same. My nature is I'm fairly quiet, fairly reserved, but you know, inside I'm dancing, man, I tell you. And like Jolly, is that it's just, there's just not enough ways to you know, show it. Is that might be dancing at home, but I was never real good at that either. But we just praise you, Lord, and we give you thanks, Father. Ah, oh, what a great place to be. Just before we start, I'd just like, if you just join with me, is I'm just going to pray for a couple. Their names are Steve and Michelle. They lost their son this week to suicide. And do you know, the gift we have in this room, the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, it's for us to carry him inside us and to take him out into the world, because he's the only thing that can change the desperation that's out there. Things that are happening that we have no control over, nothing we can do. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus draws all men unto himself. All right, that's not our thing, but our thing is temples of the Holy Spirit, to carry him out into these places, to touch these lives. And I'm just going to encourage you, is that, you know, in all that we do, in prayer and supplication, in praise and thanksgiving, in our lives, all that we have before us, we can go out and touch lives. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you today, Father. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Father, there is nothing in our lives that will ever happen that even compares to anything that you took at the cross for us. And Father, you hung there and you said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And Father, that's the word I have, Father. Forgive us, Father. Let us come humbly before you and ask in your name, Jesus, for peace, Father, for comfort, for caring and compassion in Steve and Michelle's lives, and Lord, for his wife and his four little children. Lord, we just lift them up to you. And Father, we can ask this knowing that we have confidence, Father, that if we ask in your will, it will be done. And Father, we speak that over their lives today, Father. The gift and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, flood into their lives, Father. Bless them, Father, in this time of need, Father. Pour into their lives. And just while our heads are bowed, Lord, we just beseech you, Father, to come and to minister to each one of us in this place. Father, to give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Father, hearts that are open to what you want to present to the church, Father. The church is the people, Father, the body of Christ knit together. And Father, as we look to your word today, Father, we'll have those things, Lord, made clear to us, Lord, because we're asking today that you open our eyes, you open our ears and our hearts, Father, to what you want to present to us today. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Now, I'm just going to grab a tissue before I slobber on. I think that's a good idea. It's begun right from this prayer room this morning to And when the Holy Spirit starts to move, Graham and I start to cry. And that's just the outward working of him. I'm just going to put up a couple of photos here on the screen. Jean's got them down there for me. That picture there is my son, okay? And he's hanging around in the top of a tree. On the next one, we'll just show you what the tree looks like, okay? And so that you can see, that's him up in the fork up there. So he's working at that point, probably some 15 metres above ground level. I think Gene's got another one there as well. That gives you a bit of an idea looking up from the ground up to what he's doing. But I want you to take particular note of these things called ropes. They're called high lines. And where he's working there, he's got this rope over this side going up through a point in that tree beside him, which gives him a safe point to work from to be able to work in the top of the other tree that he's bringing down. And my message today for us is to put our high line in Christ. Is, as I mentioned just a sec back, Jesus is the only one who saves. Jesus is the only one who heals. Jesus is the only one who brings peace. He's joy. He's comfort. Jesus is the be-all, the end-all. He is all that we need. It's not up to us. We're not the carriers of his peace. We're not. We might be the carriers, but it's in us because of him. All right. He's the one who puts it there. All right. It's not something we can do in our own strength. It's not something we can bring to pass. There is nothing that we're able to do except through Jesus Christ. And if we will put our high line into him, and I use that example, it gives us then the safety to go and do things which we as men and women are incapable of doing. All right, we cannot do anything in our own strength. And yet, most of us, like the rest of us, spend the most of our life in our own strength trying to bring things to pass. And for the men that have been coming along, this is just a refresher course. The girls, you'll pick it up in one hit. For the men, we take, you know, a few more times, don't we, Fred? Okay? And it's not wrong that we repeat things over and over and over again. But is that all of us in our own way, well, right from the beginning, the first thing that separated man and God was man wanting to do his own thing, his way of doing things, his understanding, his how he was going to go about it, all right? But also we always look that it's someone else's fault when something doesn't go wrong, you know? The man blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Serpent didn't have any, well, at that point he might have had legs to stand on, eh? Going back to Jules's message last week. But whatever it was, and however it is, in our lives, is that the greatest thing that we will do is come to a point in our lives where we're no longer trying to have it our way, but we've got it Yahweh, his way. Is and as I put this message together, I as I always say, you know, I've had I don't know how many hours of message this week. All right, you guys will get this little bit. All right, so obviously I need it hundredfold more than you did. All right, because I've had it over and over and over this week. But as we go out and live our lives, is Jill brought up a scripture a couple of weeks back, and it was in Matthew 6, and it's 14 and 15. It's after the Lord's Prayer. And it says, that if we will not forgive, then the Lord will not forgive us. And then he showed me some other scriptures in different areas where he said that we can, there's in the congregation, there's many sick and there's many not well, and there's even those who pass away in the congregation. And he says, because we're doing things unworthily, we're not judging ourselves and bringing ourselves to a point. And I was thinking, where do you want to go with this, Lord? And he said, the area of forgiveness. The area of forgiveness is robbing our church. And I'm going to give you a few examples. I'll just flick up, if you would, Jean, just my hand-drawn picture, all right? You can't really see it, but it says, put your highline in Christ, in Jesus. But in putting our highline in Jesus, that means we give everything over to him. We heard this morning in the prayer room, he is our burden carrier. He takes our burdens. He watches over us. He looks after us. There's nothing we should be carrying around. We shouldn't be taking the weight of the world on our shoulders. He says, give them to me. I promise you. He says, my peace I give to you. In John, he says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. All right? But let not your heart be troubled. He says, my peace I give to you. And as we go on to look, is what's the one of the biggest things that causes us to lose our peace? And that is our pride, our wanting things done our way. You know, it might be something really simple, just like Jules was talking about, you know, with the government doing what they believe's right, but we mightn't think it's right. So we've got a burden on our hearts. We lose our peace because we're trying to carry something we shouldn't be carrying. All right? It's not our burden. We're asked, all right, to follow, and we're asked in Scripture to actually abide by what the authorities speak to us. That's our role. Not taking the burden of it, but to actually obey. We're to obey what Jesus asks us to do. And I just want to go to Romans 12, and it's going to come up on the screen there for you. It's the men all know it, don't we, Graham? Uh-huh. This is what we began men's a long time ago, and this was the basis to what we work from for it. And it says, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a great bit of verse, eh? If we just did nothing else but immersed ourselves in that, we would find ourselves in a different place completely. Now, I'm just going to ask the... Now, when I put this together, is the Holy Spirit showed me this a long time back. And he said that we operate... We're all those little black sticks, okay? That's my level of art, okay? And how to represent you, you know, legitimately without offending anyone there, okay? There's no one overweight, no one underweight, but, you know, we're all some a bit taller, shorter, you know, things like that. But the thing is that for all of us as human beings, we operate in this plane, in the horizontal. Not one, and according to this scripture, not one of us better or worse than another. But importantly, the scripture always also tells us that each one of us is given a measure of faith, all right, which is not necessarily the same as everyone else's. So if we're in this group here and we're operating, working alongside one another, and we think that we're better than someone else, what right do we have to do that? Thinking highly of ourselves. Because we're saved by the same grace, the same mercy, the same Jesus. All right? We're all on this plane together across here like this. In that plane is that we become dependent on one another in the natural. It's not wrong. Okay? It's not wrong for that to happen. All right? But it is if we become dependent on one another in this horizontal plane. Because what happens is that all of us are like the rest of us in that doesn't matter how good we are, we will fail one another. But guess what happens? When we fail someone else, right, then there's the opportunity for forgiveness to come in. But when that doesn't, that creates a bit of havoc, okay? And what starts to happen is that say this person on the end gets offended because Julie didn't ring her last week and have a coffee. But she starts to tumble over now. And then the next one goes donk, 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 donk. Till all of a sudden we have total collapse in the natural thing. But luckily, the fourth person along had their high line in Christ. They may have got knocked around a little bit, all right? They may have wavered a little, but they didn't get taken out. And I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. This good friend of a lot of us believed that the church, and I'm going to use examples out of our church. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but in our church, believed that he was the only one doing things a proper way, in a certain way, and that all the rest of us weren't even serious about what we were doing. And do you know, that created an enormous ripple effect through the church because a lot of people had their faith in that person. So when that person comes and goes, the body is shaken. The body is knocked around. There's, you know, it's not healthy. All right, but in here... In Romans 12, we're talking about the body of Christ, all right? That's a nice tune. It's all right, mate. I love it, eh? Because in the body, if there's a schism or a chasm, you know, the scripture talks about these things, not allowing the body to operate in its full function, all right? And if the body's not well, if there's a sick part in there, all right, along the way, is that, right, this is great, eh? Is Jill's message last week, Jill's talked about the Google tree. Mate, the Google tree to me is, you know, I loathe and detest the Google tree because it has a bad way of picking up out of you and then, you know, sending stuff at you. And I'm a little loathe to the Google tree, but I love Jill's message last week and the roadmaps, all right, that we're given roadmaps. And one of the signals of, and one of the true things is the area of forgiveness, all right, is that if we look at forgiveness, what it does, it diffuses the situation. It takes out the hurt. It takes away. So why are we called to forgive? All right, because we're the ones equipped with the resources of heaven. All right, that's what we've been given. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have peace. We have joy. We have patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering. No, let's use self-control, okay, instead of long-suffering, okay? But all of these things are now our resources, all right? They're our things. So that if someone hurts us along the way, Scripture tells us here, repay no evil with evil, all right? It tells us not to think too highly of yourself. If you've been hurt in some way, put it aside, okay? Allow forgiveness to come in. Now, I heard a beautiful little thing about forgiveness. And Rosie told me to keep things really simple today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip about 10 pages. Okay? All right? Okay? So forgiveness is a release of debt. You owe me nothing, but you now stand before God and are in his hands. Because if you release the debt, if someone's hurt you or if something's happened and you release that, now you put them in God's hands and what he wants to do in their lives. Can you save them? No chance. Can he save them? By all means. All right? So just let me run that past you again. Forgiveness is a release of debt. You owe me nothing, but you now stand before God and are in his hands. God, I am not exacting a debt from them as you have not exacted a debt from me. How cool is that? We stand as we are, debt free, because of what Jesus did for us. He is our example. He now asks us to exemplify what he has done. Can you take that in? All right? I don't care how bad the hurts are in your life, and I'm not trying to demean them in any way, but they are nowhere near as bad as what Jesus took at the cross for us. Let's face it, none of us have been put to death. None of us have had every inch of flesh ripped from our bodies. Not one of us has shed a drop of blood. We may have had our pride knocked around a little bit. We may have been put with people that don't do things our way. We may have, you know, gone through some rough things. But not once was it anywhere near as bad as what Jesus took for us. And he gave us the example where he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And if we can come to a place where we can do that in our lives, the body will begin to heal. The sickness will go from the body of Christ. God promises us that if we will judge ourselves, if we will not take of the cup unworthily, And I talk about pride because it's an insidious thing. Pride is a hard thing to see in yourself. All right? Here I am. I've been married to my beautiful wife for close to 40 years we've been together. And she knows me better than anyone. And she still has to say, now, I don't think you got that right there, dear. All right? And I'm trying to learn to say, yes, you're right. Okay? It's an ongoing process. Okay? Because Corinthians tells us that we haven't been transformed straight up. We are being transformed. Okay? There is work to be done. Okay? I had the example of Adam and Eve there. So what I would say is that let your pride go. Bring Jesus in. Put your high line in him. All right? And that will release then you to go and operate in higher realms, in greater places. But to do it in safety. All right? Because he will be your protector. He will watch over you. He will carry your burdens. He will. His promise is yes and amen. All right? You can go out and take the word of God out. You will be ridiculed, but he is your strength. All right? Doesn't matter what goes on around you. Husbands and wives, I encourage you is to get to a place of forgiveness, is that marriage is a test for us. It's a good spot to learn things. All right? To a safe place if God is knit into so it's a threefold cord. All right? It's a safe and a good spot. Your wife, your husband, it's a good way to learn. If we get off track, is Jesus says, I forgive you. I forgive you. All right? Once we get the idea of, people let us down in all sorts of ways. All right? But if they're robbing us of our peace, if they're robbing us of our joy, if they're robbing us of our kindness, our generosity, our mercy, all of these things, something's got to happen in there. We've got to let it go, put it back to Jesus, all right, and let him do his work in the lives. Thank you. All right. We don't get back at people by not forgiving them. That's like drinking poison and believing the other person will die. Is that a fair statement? Is if we're hanging on to something we're told to let go of, it's wrong, all right? And God says we've got to judge ourselves properly, all right? And don't bring it into the body. Don't bring it into the house, all right? Turn to Jesus. Keep him in his rightful place and keep your high line in him, all right? Now, let's just flick over because I want to just look in Philippians 2. It doesn't matter which of the shuns you read, all right, whether it be Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of the shuns, okay. While you're going to Philippians, you'll come to Ephesians first, all right, so let's go to Ephesians 5 just quickly. For you were once in darkness, this is Ephesians 5 verse 8, for you were once in darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is that makes everything visible, that is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise up, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he goes on and gives you a whole different things there and there. Let's turn over a couple of pages to Philippians 2. Imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being, this is Philippians 2, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Then it goes on and talks about beautiful things there. Let's flick over into Colossians in chapter 3. And it says, rules for holy living. So then we'll go down to 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, the reason I flick those couple in there, because, again, it talks about not thinking of ourselves too highly, giving over to the other in there, that the body, we're talking about the body, if we can get the body knit together in unity and God dwells and it's the body is no longer sick and broken and healed, unhealed, it's the hope for the world out there today. People that will walk into this place and they'd see it full of the peace of God, full of the joy of the Lord, full of kindness and compassion and goodness. Even if you only meet out in each of your relationships that you have here in this line, in the horizontal, taking what you have in the vertical with Jesus, with your high line clipped in him, operating out of his gift. And even if it was just, say, you just went out in kindness, would that not change the world? But if we don't forgive, what we keep doing is adding. Right, come Holy Spirit. Okay? So, but what happens if we're not prepared to forgive and let go of the things, then what we do is add to the anger. I don't know about you, but I dislike going out into the world just purely because of the anger that's generated today. And the anger is generated because people are doing things differently to what someone else thinks, all right? There's a beautiful scripture, you know, where does strife come from? Where do wars come from, all right? It becomes because we want our way. We want things to happen how we think it should be done. We want our way on things, all right? Give it over to God. Put your high line into Jesus. Like my son can work safely at heights, he can do the job safely. All of us have that same opportunity. How do you put your high line into Jesus? There was a beautiful little thing in the word for the day in these last couple of weeks about a tea bag soaking in a cup full of hot water. That's for us to immerse ourselves in Jesus, to immerse yourself in Jesus, to take on all that he has. We do that through prayer. We do that by thanksgiving. We do that with a joyful attitude. We do it in kindness. We do it in humility. We do it outside of what we think we should do. We do it through what he asks us to do. And Jolly came and he gave honour to the women in this church this morning. I do exactly the same thing. I adore being in the prayer room with Jill and Sandra and Julie and the different ones that gather in there, because there's something that happens when you're in prayer before God, in humility, humbling yourself before him. There's something that can't happen anywhere else. You won't get it in your relationships in the horizontal. You will only get it in the relationship in the vertical with Jesus. People will let you down. I promise you that. Jesus won't. All right? If you've been let down, release them to Jesus. Let him, Because he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If there's something that needs to be sorted out, I'll sort it out. And how does he do that? With grace. Because there's nothing so bad that Jesus can't forgive. So I look to each one of us today as I just close in prayer, because I suppose we're not going to be allowed to gather and lay hands on and do all the good things that we normally do. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is ministering in this place. He's ministering right now. And if there's something, if it might be that just someone let you down, right? And they haven't felt to come back. I'll just give you a quick little example. A good friend of mine, Pastor Tepper, you know him. But a young man in his church had an affair. Now, because Tepper didn't catch up later on, this man's worked everything around now that the fault lays with him, with Tepper now. Tepper didn't have the affair. He didn't do anything wrong, all right? But it's what we do. We have a way of wanting to put the responsibility back to someone else. Let's not be like that. Let's clip our high line into Jesus. Let's hang on his mercy, on his grace, on everything that he has for us. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. We just ask, Lord, that you would minister to each one of us in this place. If there's something we need to let go of, Father, we just let go of it right now. We're not going to keep drinking the cup of poison, believing that the other person will die. We're going to release it over to you right now, Father. We release each of those people into your hands, Father. We thank you, Father, that as you strengthen us, as your mercy flows through us, as you are our example, as your kindness, your goodness flows into each one of us, Father, giving us the strength, Father, to go and put this thing aside that would bring sickness into the body. Your word declares, Father, that you, Jesus, carry the burdens. You promise us that, and you replace them with your peace, with your joy, with your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, your faithfulness. Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you today. We thank you, Father, as we just open our hearts, our minds. Just work through us today, Father. Just flow into us, Father. Just flow into us in this place. Father, bring us to a place where we don't think too highly of ourselves, but Father, we humble ourselves before Almighty God. And we thank you today, Jesus, in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.